Well, while we're talking about food, you know, you can make a recipe, and if you miss an ingredient in that recipe, it can greatly alter the taste of what you're making. You know, maybe you've made a cake or something before, or pancakes or something, and you forgot the salt, and it was, you know, pretty bland. Or maybe you forgot the baking soda or baking powder, or, you know, if you left out the sugar or the flour. You know, it's pretty important that you get all of the ingredients correct. Now, certain things I guess you could make, and here and there maybe an ingredient isn't as important. But there are ingredients that are key ingredients. And tonight I'd like to look at three essential ingredients to make our service pleasing to God. We're going to look at three ingredients that maybe we don't always think about, but they're essential to make our service to Christ that would be pleasing to God. Now tonight, do you want your service to be pleasing to God? Well, that's pretty important, because really, who else should our service please? Now, there are people maybe, but ultimately, God is the one that we ought to be aiming for, to be the one that is pleased with the service that we have. And we're coming up on a big week of service here with Vacation Bible School. And it's so important that our service ultimately is pleasing to God. Tonight we're going to look at three ingredients that will make that service. These three ingredients that must be there so that service is pleasing to God. Please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 17. We'll read verses 17, 18, and 19. I'll read verse 20 as well, 17 through 20. Romans 14, beginning in verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." The word acceptable there is a word for pleasing. Sometimes you find it translated like in Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." That's the word there, acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after or pursue the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense." I'd like us to see there in verse 18, it says, "For he that in these things," what are these things? Well, you go back to verse 17, "righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable," or pleasing, or well-pleasing to God, "and approved of men." We're going to look at these three ingredients tonight: righteousness, joy, righteousness, peace, and joy. The first characteristic here, righteousness. You know, in our service to Christ, in our service to God, we must be committed to a life of righteousness, of doing what's right, of fulfilling our obligations before God and before men. You know, in Matthew 6:33, you think of the kingdom of God. It says that these are the things that the kingdom of God is. All right, it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," then what does it say? "And his righteousness." So you see it associated there with the kingdom of God. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Righteousness. So the first characteristic here of the kingdom of God, and what ought to be characterizing our service to Christ, so that it is pleasing to God, is righteousness. In the book of 1 Timothy, as Timothy was, you know, well, Timothy directed there to Timothy, but the church, thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, notice what his instruction here specifically to Timothy. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. And notice the first thing that he says to follow after. He says, and follow after righteousness. And it says, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So here in this list of things, the first thing that is mentioned is righteousness. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and to those of you that were at the men's night, Dr. Sorensen preached an excellent message on the importance of righteousness. And really just as men being committed to doing what is right. And as we serve God, as we live the Christian life, it's so important that we are just committed to taking the high road. Committed to taking the way that is right. 2 Timothy 2:22 says here, flee also youthful lust. Notice the first thing it says to follow after. It says, but follow righteousness. Then it says, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, so flee youthful lust. You know, there are lusts that can be particular to young age. And the Bible says to what? Flee those things. You know, young people, there are lusts that the devil is after you about. You know, maybe it's money. Maybe it's pleasure. You know, we live in a day of pleasure. Maybe it's just the lust of the flesh. Maybe it's fame, prestige, approval of friends. Bible says, flee youthful lust, but follow what? What's the first thing? Follow after righteousness. You know, and here we find the service to God. What are the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not these physical things. It's not about pursuing the things of life that are physical in nature that would please ourselves, but it's about following that which is right. You know, tonight, do you have that commitment to doing what is right, to pursuing after the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is what God wants you to do, is God's will for your life, or your obligation to your home, to your family, to God, to those around you, living that righteous life, living an upright life before God, is that the pursuit of your life? That's what the kingdom of God is about. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 9. It says here, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. All right, it's utterly detestable in His sight. But then it says, but He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. You know, think about that. God is pleased. It says He loves him that followeth after righteousness. Are you a person that is pursuing righteousness in your life? Is righteousness important to you? Is doing what's right, is that high on your priority list? As you go throughout your day, is it more important to you to do what you know God would want you to do? Or is it more important to you to do what satisfies your flesh? You know, as we approach a week of vacation Bible school, you know, if everyone is committed to doing what is right, you know, maybe there's some rule in the vacation Bible school handbook, and you think, oh, why do we got to do that? Well, righteousness. You know, doing what's right. You know, maybe no one else is going to see you do something. You know, like, I don't know if it's that important. But you say, you know what? That's what God would want me to do. And I'm going to be committed to doing what is right. You know, that is service that is going to be pleasing to God. It says there in Romans chapter 14. Let's turn back there. Romans 14. Again, it says, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is what? Is acceptable to God and approved of men." It's also something, it's not just something that is pleasing in God's sight, but it's also something that is going to, it says, approve of men, pass the test of men as well. So first of all, we see that commitment to righteousness. Do you have that commitment in your life? Secondly, it says, righteousness, the second characteristic, is peace. You're like, well, what's so big about peace? Well, you know, earlier in the chapter, you have this, you know, meat and, you know, should we eat, should we not eat? Well, peace. Here, in this situation, those that are really looking out for others are going to be able to put aside their desire for something, even though it, for them, even though it may be okay, they're going to set that aside for the spiritual betterment of others. They don't want to do something that is going to create a situation that's going to harm somebody else spiritually. Maybe a situation that would also engender strife. And so the importance of peace in our service to Christ. It says over there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, that we are to what? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. So it says, let the peace of God rule. You know, in our lives, in the decisions that we make, we need to allow God's peace to rule, to be the umpire, to make the decisions. You know, in our homes, make decisions that are going to create peace. You know, maybe you're a younger brother or sister, older brother or sister. You know, do you do things that make for peace in the home? Or do you watch out for yourself? You know, to make decisions of peace, we have to what? We have to set aside ourselves. We have to set aside our desires. You know, maybe it's next week at Vacation Bible School, and there's just maybe another worker that's getting under your skin a little bit. You know, we can do things that make for peace, or we can do things that engender strife. And in our service, we need to be committed to setting our own personal desires aside. Obviously, there's that commitment to righteousness. We don't just set aside righteousness so somebody else can be pleased. Righteousness is that which guides it. But there needs to be that willingness to set aside our own desires being met. Our own, maybe it's a physical, maybe it's young people, you're in the cookie line. And, you know, you're going to let the visitors go first. You're going to be, oh, I want to get in line first. You know, just something simple like that. Let the peace of God rule. The Bible says in Romans chapter, just earlier in the book of Romans, Romans 12 and verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, God wants our lives to be characterized by peace. You know, He doesn't want us to be people that are argumentative. He doesn't want us to be people that are difficult. You know, He doesn't want us to be people that are grumpy, people that are angry. All right, we need to be people that are what? Follow, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And then there's the verse over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11. Well, let me begin in verse 10. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, no deceit. Let him eschew evil." All right, we need to avoid evil and do good. "Let him seek peace and ensue it." All right, so notice that again. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, you think of all these people with all the Facebook pages, all the commentary on the internet. You know, you have to say, are those people that are really seeking peace and pursuing it? You know, we need to think about what God wants in our lives. Righteousness. Secondly, He wants to seek after peace. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20 that it says, "Now the God of what? The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." But notice how He's referred to as the what? The God of peace. You know, if we're going to properly reflect upon the God that we serve, we need to be people of what? People of peace. You know, we need to be people that are easy to get along with. You know, all of us at times can be, you know, difficult to get along with. But God wants us to be people of peace. And, you know, it's going to make our service that much more effective when we are committed to setting aside maybe something in our own life that we want that, you know, could be set aside. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So the second ingredient there is peace. Then we see the third ingredient. Let's go back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and we sang, the song was about this. There's joy in serving Jesus. Righteousness and peace and what? And joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, as we're serving Christ, God wants us to have joy. Serving God should not be something that just makes us have a down day. All right, there should be joy in serving Jesus. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, the Corinthians, there were people, or he uses this illustration for the Corinthians, those of Macedonia, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the churches of Macedonia, it says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Notice, what was the key to their giving? There was what? The abundance of their joy. You know, we need to have joy as we serve the Lord. And we're going to look at one of the keys to having that joy, or maybe a couple of keys, but there's joy that ought to characterize our service to the Lord. In Romans chapter 15, we see one of the results, one of the maybe the reasons for that joy. Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. You know, when you're sitting there in doubt in your life, and doubting, it's kind of hard to have what? Have joy in your life, isn't it? But when we're trusting God, when we're relying upon Him, when our confidence is in Him, He can fill us with joy. I'd also, you know, another reference maybe that's familiar to us, Psalm 16 and verse 11, where it talks about, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You know, getting into the presence of God, that's where real joy is. What does our world say will bring joy? You know, get a lot of money, have a big vacation, you know, buy the new car, buy the new boat, get something. That's going to bring you joy. But what's going to bring real joy? Well, it's spending time with the person, with the one who ultimately gives joy. And that's our Lord and Savior. It's our God. In His presence is fullness of joy. In Romans chapter 5, and verse number 11, it says, It says, and not only so, it says, but we also joy in who? We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know, you think of Psalm number, in Psalms there, David said, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. You know, there's a joy in our lives because of our salvation and what God has done. Now, sin obviously can take away that joy. And confession, as David did, can what? Can bring that joy back. And as we serve God, there ought to be righteousness, a commitment to righteousness. There ought to be a commitment to peace, but also joy. You know, what can easily take away that joy? You think of here in Romans chapter 14, and maybe those that felt they could do something, and then others maybe that it would be a stumbling block to. Well, what takes away that joy? It's self-interest. When we put our self-interest ahead of others, ahead of what God would want. And what does it do? It hinders our service from being pleasing to God. And who is the only one that can truly bless our service? Well, that's God. So we think of joy. You know, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, what does it say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second thing? Joy. And as we think about all these things, you know, as we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, as we follow the dictates of God's Word, it can bring what? It can bring joy in our lives. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24, Acts 20 verse 24, the Apostle Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might what? Finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. How could the Apostle Paul finish his course with joy? I mean, he went through so much. Well, he wanted to finish it with joy. And how could that take place? As he knew he accomplished what God had for him. You know, there can be great joy. You think of a, you know, the parent comes away, the child's at home. Well, there's a lot of joy when the parent comes home if the child has done what the parent wanted them to do. But there's not much joy if they know the parent's coming home and they haven't done it. And, you know, in our service, as we serve and as we're doing what we know is God's will for us to do and fulfilling that course, there can be great joy in our lives. You know, John 15 and verse 11, another key to joy is what? These things have I spoken unto you that your joy might be what? Your joy might be full. As we abide in Christ, He'll what? He'll bring joy. You know, there's in John chapter 16 and verse number 24, it talks about how we can have joy in prayer. It says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that your what? That your joy may be full. You know, we want joy in serving God. What do we need? Well, we need to be praying. And as we pray, what will God do? He'll answer that prayer. And what will it bring to our lives? It'll bring joy as we see God working. You know, joy in our service. And as we think of Vacation Bible School next week, have joy. You know, come here with joy. Don't come like you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Don't come maybe with a snappy attitude, but come committed to doing what's right, committed to having peace in our relationships with others, and committed to serving God with joy and realizing that all these things are what? Ultimately a result of the Holy Spirit controlling us. You know, and it's so important that we spend that time with the Lord. So these things that ultimately come from Him can characterize our lives, and what will be the result? Our lives will be pleasing to Him. You know, what's the contrast here? The contrast between the physical, you know, meat and drink, what I want, and the spiritual, righteousness, peace, and joy. What's the key? The Holy Spirit. What's the result? Pleasing God. You know, what's the action that we should take in our lives? Well, it says there, in I need to turn there quickly. It says in verse 19, it says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may what? May edify another." We need to pursue. We need to follow after. You know, what are you pursuing tonight? And then it says in verse 20, "For meat, destroy not the work of God." You know, don't allow something so minuscule and unimportant to destroy what God would want to accomplish. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that You would work in our lives, and Lord, we need Your help for these things to characterize our service so that it can be well-pleasing in Your sight. Lord, help us to spend that time with You. Lord, help us to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and what He would want to do in our lives so that these things can characterize our service to You. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.